Cuadros' Corner is a podcast whose purpose is to bring connection within the local community of the Rio Grande Valley, a digital networking landscape to meet people through their stories of passion, business, desires, triumphs, and obstacles. Check out the podcast description to connect with guests through their links, and thank you for listening to Cuadros' Corner. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and comment.
Muchas gracias. Thank you for coming to the podcast. Obviously, we've been doing this podcast for a while, and we've had the pleasure of having your art in the background. Can y'all tell us how y'all met Yvette? ¿Cómo la conocieron? Porque este espacio, this space, is like an artist's paradise. So tell us a little bit about how you came to meet Yvette and a little bit about your background with your art.
Well, I'll start. I just want to say thank you so much for this opportunity. It is a privilege, an honor to be here. You're doing incredible work. I do follow the podcast, and I think it's going really well. And I like the creativity that you're bringing to the podcast. A lot of creative minds, a lot of great dialogue, which is much needed. Yeah. You know, that platform. Of course, I couldn't thank Yvette enough for everything, for providing that space for us to come here and do what we do, be creative, whether it is podcasting, whether it's painting, whether it's photography, whether it's modeling, you know, all that fusion of all that good stuff, man. It's good. It's brewing.
Yeah.
And you could tell that a lot of good things have come out of here because very inspirational. If you follow Backdoor Modern Vintage, if you follow a lot of artists that have participated here in their social media platforms or whatever, even events, you'll see all the amazing shows, all the amazing things that she's been that she's helped produce by providing this space. But not only providing the space, actually being part of the collaborative
creative process.
Exactly. Yeah.
I would like to quickly interrupt to talk to you about our sponsor, Backdoor Modern Vintage. It's a creative hub which features different backgrounds for photography, video, or podcasting. Located at 907 West Business 83, Weslaco, Texas, you can also find a variety of props for your projects and an assortment of wardrobe to rent or buy as well. Backdoor Modern Vintage, located at 907 West Business 83, Weslaco, Texas. You can make an appointment by texting or calling 956-619-3830. Backdoor Modern Vintage.
And so going into how I met her, I was doing a photography gig with one of the models who knew Yvette, and she kind of invited me to the space and like, hey, I want you to meet somebody, you know, and she loves painting and stuff. I never heard of Yvette, right? So I came over here and just literally was like, what is this, man? This is awesome, you know? And
yeah.
And like everybody probably tells this story, it's like, I was hooked. I wanted to come back and hang out and be creative.
You're never the same.
Exactly. And when I came here, I came with my fiance, Michelle. And so we came here after the gig. I'm talking about after the gig. Came here and she started telling us all these things where she wanted to expand not only the store, but into what the other part is, right? Behind this wall. And, man, she gave us all these ideas. Right away, I knew what she was talking about.
Yeah.
You know, she was thinking Andy Warhol art factory, pretty much. And I knew it was like, you know what? You have the space. Let's start moving things and placing things. And let me do this piece for you. Let me do that piece for you. And before we knew it, we had created again the space in the back.
Yeah, most of your art is displayed throughout the store, the space, and the factory, which is.
I had a real good connection with Yvette, and she kind of made me real humble because one day she just says, "Man, because I brought some work to exhibit here," and it's just I want it all. It has to stay here. I want it to be part of this movement that I'm creating, And I was like, of course, I want to be a part of it. And yeah. So it stayed here. It literally, she acquired it, and she really wanted it to be part of the space along other artists. I mean, you see other art here from other artists as well. And look at it, what it is now. I haven't been here for a couple of months. You know, I'm from Brownsville, Texas. So I haven't, you know, I used to come a lot and to hang out here and do creative events. But now I walk in here and I'm like, I'm, you know, further down the line, and I see what you're doing. I see the installation of art just changing and adapting itself and moving and evolving. And this space is grown in such an amazing way. I mean, and I've only been here about an hour right now. I like to snoop around and kind of see those little changes and details and stuff like that. And it looks great, man. You know, it's amazing. But yeah, we met through we did meet through a photography gig.
Yeah.
And then it's just, we hit it off, and now we're here collaborating. And I would say collaborating because everything that we do together helps me, helps you, helps them, helps the community. It helps the region, helps us grow creatively, and show the rest of the world what we do here. You know, our culture, our way of being. Yeah.
And speaking about art and our way of being, we obviously have another great artist here that I had the privilege to meet a couple of days ago, yes. Antonio, Tony. Can you tell us, whether it be in English or Spanish, a little bit about your background and how you ended up working alongside Gabriel Treviño, and also, meeting Yvette as well?
Actually, me and Gabriel, we've been friends since the 90s. Nice. We were students at UTV.
UTV, yeah. Now UTRGV, right?
Yes. And Yvette, I just met her like two days ago.
Yeah.
Pero a ti, desde hace 3 años nos hemos seguido en Facebook y nos invitamos a que venga yo para acá y yo le invitaba a que fuera a mi estudio en Brownsville.
Sí, y tienes mucho arte en toda tu casa.
Mucho arte.
Muy, muy, muy chido tú.
Y hace dos, sí, muchas gracias. Y
eso te lo compró el mono ese que está en la estatua, ¿verdad?
Sí, sí. Sí, ese lo hice cuando era estudiante en el 96 y la vendí a Yvette. Y hace 2 días que fue a mi estudio y nos divertimos mucho.
Sí. Y todos tus amigos, los amigos de ustedes, all your friends, are they like also artists? Is it easier to become friends with artists, with gente creativa? ¿Es más fácil de que se hagan mutuamente amigos? ¿O nos pueden explicar un poquito de ese sentimiento de ser amigos con artista?
Well, that is, I'll take this one, I guess. I have myself personally, I've always surrounded myself with other creative people, whether they're musicians or poets, writers, you name it, photographers, whatever. I've always liked the idea of hanging out with other artists. I've been doing art for about just over 25 years, and along that journey, I've come across with great people like Antenori, who we've collaborated on works, we've collaborated on shows. We kind of have that same mental process for that creative process that we enjoy each other's company, where we have conversations that, you know, we get each other. In other words, we can explore on dialogue with when we talk about art, that because we come from the same neighborhood, if you will, that we understand each other. So yes, I mean, hanging out with other artists is key to your own development, and I'm pretty sure any artist would agree with that. But I personally would also recommend to explore meeting people. I mean, don't just categorize people or judge people through the their how do you say their judge a book by its cover, right?
Right?
So,
yeah.
Everybody has an amazing story, no matter what age, no matter what sex, no matter what color, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has an amazing story. As a podcaster, I mean, you would know that. You know, sometimes you just scratch that work, bring a memory, and everybody can relate to something amazing in this human world.
Yeah, they can empathize.
Yeah, because we're all, at the end of the day, we're all humans. We're all experiencing this together.
Yeah.
Whatever's on the news, whatever is affecting everyone. So as a human being, be friends with everyone. What the hell, you know?
Yeah.
That is to say that I just want to hang out with artists would be naive and ignorant, because there's so many beautiful people out there, not just artists, right. You know.
Sure.
So I look at it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Tenori, what is your thoughts on that?
Pues me junto con amigos de Matamoros y de McAllen y supuestamente de Bronville también. Y hay una nueva generación de pintores muy buenos que están colaborando con nosotros. Y cuando podemos, vamos a hacer eventos juntos. Ahorita en Matamoros estamos haciendo una asociación donde queremos involucrarnos con los artistas de aquí del Valle y hacer intercambio cultural. Y
los cruzas muy frecuentemente.
Sí, sí, sí. Vamos a pláticas ahorita.
Sí.
Y queremos ser una organización para apoyarnos mutuamente.
Ah, ok.
Sí.
Qué padre. Y hablando de ir a Matamoros y para acá, estando aquí en el Valle, being in the Valley, how has that shaped, cómo ha formado el aspecto de visión de artista a ambos, esta pregunta para los dos, estando en una área muy particular, porque no es todos los días que uno vive en una área donde puedes cruzar y se inspira ambamente el área de allá para acá y de aquí para allá y cruza mucha gente por aquí. Entonces es una área muy única. ¿En qué aspecto les ayuda esto a hacer arte?
I'll let you start this one. I got my own answer, but I'll let Antonori give a perspective.
Sí, cuando yo empecé a pintar hace casi 30 años, mi mayor influencia era Diego Rivera. Uh-huh. Mucha gente no lo cree, pero sí.
Sí.
Y cuando estudié en la universidad, mucha gente hacía surrealismo. La mayoría de mis amigos estudiantes. Y cuando estudié la carrera ya para graduarme, cambié mi estilo al futurismo italiano. Uh-huh. Y he evolucionado un poco. Y sigo en esa línea, pero con mis amigos que hemos platicado en Matamoros, ellos, su punto de vista es también tener un poco la visión más globalizada. Uh-huh. Cuando elaboran su arte, ¿va? Y viviendo en la frontera, pues, a veces es un poco difícil porque tenemos una mentalidad un poco más estrecha de que lo que es el ámbito globalizado, sí.
Uh-huh.
Y bueno, cuando estuve en la Fuerza Aérea también me ayudó mucho a abrir un poco mi perspectiva de la vida y del panorama cultural de muchas de diferentes culturas.
Sí, sí.
Y platicando con muchos amigos de diferentes, su background eran de otras culturas y de otros tipos de tradiciones y puntos de vista. Y eso me ayudó mucho a formar mi carácter en el arte.
Uh-huh.
Y bueno, pues hasta la fecha sigo experimentando y también evolucionando.
Sí, y hablando un poquito de que fuiste a la universidad, también fuiste, me habías mencionado cuando fui a la casa de usted a ver el show del arte que fue a ver con nosotros, que usted era maestro de arte. ¿Eso también tuvo que ver con
sí.
Pues de poder formar una opinión sobre el arte, poder conocer a mucha gente y enseñar?
Sí, I have my degree in fine arts from UTV back in the early 2000s. I was teaching in Houston for 2 years in the middle school. Era totalmente diferente a lo que estoy haciendo ahora porque ahí era más seguir un formato del estado de Texas. Tenemos que seguir las lecciones del día y era todo más formal, seguir mucho lo de lo que es implementar las cultura, no tanto de Estados Unidos, sino de muchos países, pero a veces, como eran estudiantes jóvenes, era un poco difícil ellos hacerlos comprender lo que queríamos enseñarles. ¿Eh?
Uh-huh. Okay. Y si querías, if you want to answer the question of, you know, how the Valley shapes your creative vision, does it help it, or does it, is the
contract? It is the... There's many aspects of looking at what your question is asking, because if it, as an artist, that idea of thinking just about being a border artist can really entrap you, mm-hmm. and keep you from evolving into other aspects of the world. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful with the narrative of being a, let's say, a Mexican-American artist. And I say Mexican-American or Tex-Mex because that is the culture here. And it's there's no doubt, many artists will tell you here, we are rich, super rich in culture, especially with the American and Mexican fusion, mm-hmm. happening right here in our backyard. There's a lot of artists here that have lived on both sides of the border and have lived and experienced that both sides of the culture, and it's easy to adapt it and put it in your art and create that narrative. But you also have to explore global concepts and go beyond what we have here,
yeah.
locally, because we cannot live in a box.
Yeah.
Living in a box as an artist can really work backwards, in a sense, for your own development and your own freedom. The whole reason we do art in a lot of ways is because we want to be free. Free in the way we think, free in our way of life, so that we don't feel entrapped. And so, yes, beautiful place to live here, Brownsville, to McAllen, to Laredo, all along the border, we have a great fusion of art. And it's very clear that a lot of the, it's very influential. It's in the stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. It's in the stuff that he does. Sometimes, whether we like it or not, it creeps on in because it's that strong. But again, I do recommend all other artists, or as a gesture of dialogue, is that, yes, you also want to be able to think beyond the border into global aspects, mm-hmm. whatever it is. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever you're into. But don't feel entrapped in just that concept. And so
there,
a long conversation, too.
Yeah.
That's a very yes and no conversation.
Yeah. There was, because you mentioned that we shouldn't be so in the box type of thinking. A couple of years back in Brownsville, they hired someone from out of the valley to paint a mural over there. And people were really upset about it because they were saying that, you know, we have a lot of talent down here, mucho talento aquí. Why didn't they get someone from here? But how do you guys feel? ¿Cómo ustedes se sienten del aspecto de que fueron a un lugar afuera para pintar un mural sobre el valle? Aquí en esa pared.
Right. I mean, because a lot of, if I was to give you my perspective, a lot of people, yeah, they were kind of upset about it, even the community as a whole, not just artists. Because when this came about, this is for, they're asking for a community mural. So they posted a job that on Friday that was already taken for a job that began on Monday, that was already going to start. So I said, hey, man, how do you post a job on Friday that's already taken, that starts on Monday? We had no opportunity.
Make it look good.
And in a community like ours, we are you know, asking for opportunities for the type of jobs that pay. That was a $20,000 plus job, or, you know, a creative
project.
Project that, you know what, it would have been nice to have seen it developed into somebody local, you know. But of course, whoever's paying is the one that has the choice, regardless of how you feel about it. But again, this was a community project, so it would have been nice. That's why, that's where there was a lot of has nothing to do with the artist. I mean, all artists are welcome to express their own ideas and stuff like that. It was kind of more of the hiring process that people were kind of mad about, because, you know, people wanted that opportunity. And it's good that people spoke up, because I couldn't tell you what in other cities, what how it has worked for them. But because people spoke out in this community, we're talking Brownsville, because in our own backyard, because people spoke out, now there has been a lot more jobs come about.
Also,
and the opportunities have been local, and that's been good. And high-paying jobs, you know, big projects that, you know, however you look at it, there's been a lot of funding for the arts that has spread out its wings throughout the whole region. That is very good. You have to speak out in these scenarios, because if you don't, well, you know.
Y Antonio, tú cuando viste la noticia de que mucha gente salió a la defensa de los artistas locales, ¿cómo te sentiste que haya mucha gente detrás de ustedes?
Pues cuando vino el pintor, después acá de California, el de BTX. Yo la verdad que no opiné mucho, pero fue una propuesta un poco más, como dice Gabriel, out of the box, a different perspective. Somebody from California coming to Brownsville, y se ve un poco moderno, o muy moderno su estilo, pero pues estuvo bien, algo diferente, y la gente lo ha aceptado.
Entonces, contigo no hay problema. Que es como si tú fueras a California y hubieras pintado tu manera de...
Yeah, the art is not being in question. What was in question a lot was...
The process,
the hiring process.
Yeah.
Hiring process is like, hey, man, the opportunity could have been nice for somebody local, man.
Sí.
You know?
¿Y ustedes han visto algún tipo de evolución desde el perspectivo, from the perspective of you guys... creo que eso fue la pared esa, la mural fue como 2021, ¿no? Si no me equivoco. Ya han pasado como varios años, 3 años.
This was
2021.
Yeah, right, 2 years ago.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Usted mencionó que hubo mucha gente detrás del arte. Ahora, con gente artística como Grupo Frontera, que ahora más gente lo conoce a ellos, y también al Valle, ¿ustedes creen, do you guys think that there's going to be more recognition for artists of all kinds, de todo tipo aquí en el Valle?
Well,
go ahead.
Sí. I opened my studio almost 10 years ago. The first one I opened in Paredes, and Gary was there a couple of times. 2013, 2014, pero I moved downtown Brownsville like 6 years ago. Y empezamos con el artwork en el 2018, 2019, un poquito antes de la pandemia. Todavía muy bien, por un año tuvimos mucho, mucha gente que nos apoyó. Iba todo muy bien, pero desgraciadamente la organización o el grupo se nos vino para abajo todo el proyecto. Tratamos de hacer algo más, pero nos pegó la pandemia y eso nos detuvo mucho nuestros proyectos. Hace como 2 años vino un grupo de Houston a mi estudio y me entrevistaron diciendo que ellos pensaban abrir 2 estudios en Brownsville y una galería. Y me cuestionaron de cómo estaba la economía local. Y yo fui muy, muy, muy directo a lo que les contesté. Le dije, pues se batalla un poco con lo del arte porque mucha gente lo cree que es un hobby y a veces no lo toman en serio, ¿verdad? Creen que es nomás un pasatiempo común o fuera de lo normal a veces.
Sí, sí.
Y sí necesitamos un poco más de apoyo de la gente que nos, nos patrocine nuestras obras, ¿verdad? Uh-huh. Para seguir nosotros adelante y apoyando a la economía local.
Uh-huh. Entonces, como por ejemplo, ¿qué es la manera más impactante que alguien puede hacer o para apoyarlos a ustedes?
Well, I mean, still staying on that topic is that it is a tricky question what you're asking for. Art's not a popularity contest. It's not a popularity contest. You do the work you do because you're passionate about it. We're not trying to get on the paper just to get on the paper here. If you look at there's been a lot of artists from Brownsville that have already made their ways into, let's say, the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. What is his name? Carlos Gomez, one of them, who's made their names into other big museums mm-hmm. throughout the United States. Mm-hmm. We're talking, art museums. This is not Burciaga. The other one.
Bustinza
was another one who have already gone through the 70s and 80s and made their names. There's been a whole list of artists that have already contributed to the evolution of art into the museum world all throughout the United States and beyond. You have guys like, Can de Aguilar, who is out there already doing shows, in especially Chicano art shows in L.A. and the new Cheech Marin Museum. What I'm trying to say is that a lot of artists from Brownsville, including ourselves, have already contributed to the factors of art mm-hmm. in places where art is recognized for its value. Not the everyday gimme Facebook's validity of likes and things like that. That is a separate thing. A lot of people need to understand that. That is totally separate. But this is not a popularity contest. Support, of course, support has always been there. The concepts of people showing up to your art exhibitions. We have just having a museum in your town is a recognition alone of how much investment the community has made into art. And we have big museums in Brownsville. So does McAllen, so does Edinburgh. Look at these places. Look at this space. We already know that there is a big investment from the community in art, not because it's popular, but because we are rich in our art culture, and it's recognized throughout. So that's why I'm real careful in answering that question you're asking, because this ain't a popularity contest. Yeah, yeah. Art shouldn't be that way. We're here to change the way we think about certain things so that we're not close-minded mm-hmm. and we're evolving as humans.
Right. Well, thank you for clarifying. I wanted to ask a little bit about your style of art and what moves you when it comes to painting. But one thing I wanted to try, algo que quería intentar, es que si ustedes pueden decir lo que les gusta de Gabriel y Gabriel que te gusta de Antonio, de su arte. No sé quién quiera empezar.
You want to start there, sir?
Yeah.
Come on, man, tell him. Tell him you really like my work.
In the 90s, when I was, me and Gabriel were students, parece que los dos hacíamos mucho surrealismo. Y empezamos a hacer mucho surrealismo también. Gabriel hacía, era muy, los dos eran muy figurativos, los dos empezamos de, ya con el tiempo fuimos evolucionando y cambiando nuestros estilos y pues la soltura que tenemos ahora ambos ha sido muy buen, un buen crecimiento para los dos. Me gusta mucho lo de Gabriel, que es, tienes la soltura de expresar sus ideas y sus técnicas, ¿va? Como antes, cuando éramos estudiantes, nos preocupaba mucho hacer todo muy académico, all the blending, all the concepts of art or design. After we learned the basics, we were free to do what we're doing now. Uh-huh. Y me gusta su colorido también. Yo uso mucho el color. Somos coloristas.
Uh-huh. Sí, está muy bonito.
Muy buena temática, sí.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I've known Antenori for a real long time. We both come from studying under Carlos Gomez, which was a Chicano artist and professor at the University of UTRGV. And there was a lot of influence of Chicano art in our studies, but. I think Antenori branched off to his futurist style, and I branched off into mine. I see other things that I like about, we were talking about 2 days ago about this, is that what I like about Antenori is that we're, both of us, we're almost artists that are, that we're kind of not for hire. We're not the holiday artists. We're meaning, hey, paint my puppy, and then I'll paint your puppy and use your puppy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
We really push on ideas that are our own concepts. I'd like to do the stuff that I like to do, period. And I push on it, and I push on it, and have for over 25 years. What I like about Antenori and his work is that he does the same. He doesn't deviate to what's popular locally or whatever. Everybody's dripping paint, and look at us drip paint,
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not saying that those are bad things, but trends are tricky, it'll change the format of the work you're doing. Antenori doesn't do trends. He sticks to his work, his own palette, his own process, his own textures, his own concepts that he's been developing and working every day. Doesn't matter if he sells or not. It doesn't matter if you give him 3 likes on social media. He still does it, and he'll do it again tomorrow. And he is evolving his work like I am as well, and pushing our work in the way we want to mold it. And that is the truest, for me, the truest definition of a true artist, is that you do what you like to do most and develop your own art, not what everybody else is trending on.
Yeah.
Because it's easy, like I said, it's easy to fall into a box where you can get out of. And as an artist, you really have to avoid falling into a hole and really evolve your work. You started here and you wanna end here, and that is a goal. The goals we set for ourselves are the only ones that matter.
Right. Speaking of goals, is there one thing that you guys have in mind? Like, what's a goal that you guys wanna set as an artist? Like, I guess, what's the legacy that you guys want to be known for?
That is a very good question. I'll know tomorrow. And if you ask me tomorrow, I'll probably know the next day. What we don't want to do as an artist is start working on our retrospective. You know what a retrospective is?
No.
A retrospective is when you start...
What do you want?
Pretty much defining all of your work. How could you define all of your work today if you're still gonna work tomorrow?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My goal in life is to continue doing what I am doing right now. Mm-hmm. So that retrospective happens after I'm gone. You figured out what I was trying to do. Because it would really, I would shoot myself in the foot. In some ways, a lot of artists are like lawyers.
Yeah.
And I say that because we cannot entrap ourselves in a concept. Because if I entrap myself in a concept, I'm locked in. And if I deviate, you're going to say, hey, you're not doing what you said you were going to doing. So you always have, your language has to be very loose to the point where I cannot say I'm only going to paint blue for the rest of my life and then tomorrow I paint green, because then you're going to hold me to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to use whatever the hell color I want.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm going to do whatever line I want. I'm going to paint whatever I want. Because if we do it the other way around, there's no purpose in for me painting, because you already know what to expect tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so that is... That is the way we're seeing things, man. It's all this is about how we think. Remember, art is how we perceive reality.
That's true.
You know, and not so much reality, but again, I have to walk out of back. Yeah. And well, what is fantasy?
Yeah.
And what's in our dreams? And what's in our thoughts? And what's in our feelings? And what is in things that we don't know about? Abstract. So we have to learn how to communicate in all these languages, whether it's mathematical, scientifical, whatever concept you feel like, see the world in many different formats. And that's what an artist is, because tomorrow will be different.
Yeah.
And we all know that.
And do you share the same type of thinking?
Very much. Yes. Not to be labeled like on what we do. We're always evolving every day, and different ideas, different concepts.
Yeah, because if you stop evolving, you stop growing.
Yeah.
And what is the purpose then?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least I don't know. If you could argue that, then sure, go ahead.
And there's this really famous saying, especially down here in the valley, that's Puro 956. And has become kind of like the pride of people. They say that a lot. What is your reaction or what is your thinking behind this saying, Puro 956?
Personally, I love it. I love 956. I love the concept. Has nothing to do with art. Puro 956 has nothing to do with art. It is more of for us, is something that, because we love this culture, we love this area, and it's a way of identifying with it. It's a way of identifying with where we come from. And so, Viva 956, man, of course, yeah.
I think I have a little bit different perspective. Maybe we've been labeled like from the valley, right?
Yeah.
We all do the same thing, or we always we always eat the same thing. Everybody does here in the valley. But when I was in the Air Force, my point of view was mucha gente creía que nosotros como hispanos o mexicoamericanos no éramos ingenieros o científicos. No podían creer que éramos maestros a veces. Mm. Muchos pensaban que éramos nomás campesinos o obreros, y esa mentalidad nos han etiquetado de que no somos más que eso. Y eso tal vez lo de 956 nos ha tachado un poco de... Es un concepto muy bueno, pero a la misma vez, como dice Gabriel, nos puede etiquetar en una forma como muy estereotipo del... De la frontera, ¿verdad?
Mm-hmm. My difference is that we have to be able to make fun of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So 956 does that. It's okay. It's okay to call myself from the 956. Nothing wrong with it. Like I don't want to live afraid of labels. In a sense that labels will exist no matter how how you live your life. Live your life however you want to live, and people will give you labels and all that stuff. But you also have to be able to not for it to affect you. And if things starts to affect you, then especially here, the more people will poke you at it. Yeah, if they tell you you have a long nose and I'm worried about my long nose, then people will start poking more on it. And you have a huge nose, my God. Watch where you walk, and you might trip on it. Or you might get it stuck somewhere.
Does it give you a nickname based on a feature of yours?
Yeah. I just think it's nice. It's a knife, but don't bother me. I don't see it as it will never reflect how good the culture is or how bad the culture is. It's here today, gone tomorrow, hopefully here for a long time,
For my final question, is there something that you have on your chest that you want to, let the people who are watching or listening know? Anything that's on your mind? Anything that you just want to get out?
Well, I'll let you.
As visual artists, we should be taken more seriously with artwork. We take time and a lot of energy and a lot of thought on what we're doing. No, no más estamos haciendo cosas así y a ver qué nos sale. A veces la gente piensa que nomás estamos manchando la tela y a ver qué nos sale la última, pero el mensaje que queremos dar es, como dice Gabriel, la libertad de expresarnos y ojalá que las nuevas generaciones nos puedan comprender un poco más de lo que tratamos de proyectar y tal vez les ayude mucho a ellos en sus talentos.
Perfecto. Muy buen dicho. Muy buen dicho.
To complement that, I want to say is that I didn't invent the wheel. Neither did Antonori. Yeah. We're painters, just no different than other painters in the next city or the next town or the next state. We're all contributing to the evolution of art. Art is so subjective and open to that. I really don't... I feel that it's accepted in many formats that we should be able to see that, hey, you know what? Don't be ignorant. Understand that there's other artists. And be prideful of having other artists in the community. Art is not, you can't steal all of the art and make it all yourself. Picasso tried to do it.
Yeah.
As much as he wants to, look at us. There's other arts. Other people doing art, it can never be catched and say I own art, all of it, that's egocentric.
Yeah.
And so to what he's saying is that just contribute, man, contribute to the evolution of art. We're just here to do our part. And it is, and art is that serious because art changes the world. Mm-hmm. It certainly changes economies too, mm-hmm. because art is one of those very powerful commodities that we have in the world. Go look at the museums in the big cities. Guess what they have there? All of it is art.
Yeah.
Relics of civilizations that have been producing art. And we're doing the same thing.
That's true.
We're contributing to those museums of the future.
That's true. Pues, thank you so much for sharing your opinions, the way you view the world as artists, as painters, as having freedom to express yourself on canvas and all types of ways. Muchas gracias. Thank you for coming to the podcast. And I definitely am excited to share you guys' perspective. I think it was very refreshing how you view things, cómo piensan, cómo hacen todo lo que hacen. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Carlos. Thank you for the podcast, and thank you, Yvette, for everything that you've been doing and bringing a lot of artists here together. And viva 956, man. Yeah. Right on.